most of you, at least most of you men, took your respective sweethearts out already. Andrew's in trouble back there, wherever he was. I guess he went in the back because he said he was waiting until today. And I said, no, you can't do it on Sunday. And so you're out. John chapter number 3 this morning. And I want to read two verses and we'll get started this morning. John chapter 3, let's start in verse number 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved." Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for loving us while we were yet unlovely. We pray this morning, Lord, you'd help us. I pray that you would cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit. Help me only to preach what thus saith the Lord. I pray this morning I'd say nothing that does not need to be said, but help me to say everything that does. Lord, we pray above all things that Jesus Christ's name would be lifted up in this place. We'll be sure to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due only your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. John 3:16 has been called by many the miniature gospel. It's been called the gospel in a nutshell. It's been called the greatest verse in the Bible. No doubt it is. Many of your sports people will paint John 3:16 under their eyeballs, and it's a very familiar verse, so familiar that many times, you see, there are some things in life that should never, ever lose their luster. I've known folks that have went to the Grand Canyon and they had spent some time there day after day after day and said, we felt like we didn't see anything. There's so much, it's so vast, it's so beautiful that we felt like that we could stay there 100 years and never see the whole thing. And then I've talked to folks that said, yeah, we spent a couple hours there seeing all there was to see and then went on. You see, when it comes to John 3:16, many times I believe what happens is we read it and we know it and it's familiar and we say, ho-hum, that's great, that's real nice. When I, even as a young boy, and I was preaching there, I used to try to avoid certain verses, you know, verses like this because they were common verses, and I wanted to get into the deep things of God and really be able to wow people with some of the great things of God. But now some 30 years later, I figured out that you can't get any deeper than "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him could not perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life." Some time ago, a computer virus known as the love bug, some of you remember that, went around. It swept the globe by email, infecting millions of computers in less than 24 hours. Even those top software engineers were affected by it. It seems that even the most qualified and most informed computer gurus could not resist opening a message titled simply, "I love you. I love you." Everybody wants to be loved by somebody. It's our nature. It's what we desire, and everyone wants to be loved by somebody. Valentine's Day this year is expected to be record-breaking as far as money spent. In fact, it's expected that $19 billion, with a B, not an M, $19 billion will be spent on Valentine's Day alone. You hear people, especially young single people, many times when it starts approaching Valentine's Day, they'll say something like this, "Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. It looks like I'm going to be single this year on Valentine's Day." And they begin to panic when it gets closer and closer to that day, the closer the day approaches, and they actually begin to panic and when it looks like they'll not have a sweetheart, in other words, someone to love and someone to love them on Valentine's Day. Because you see, we equate Valentine's Day with love. Because we know that love is important, we see Valentine's Day, though really a pagan holiday, we see that as being important. Therefore, we're willing as a nation to spend $19 billion on this one day. But everybody wants to be loved by somebody. I submit to you, love is the most important thing in this world. Oh, salvation stems from love. Love's the most important thing in this world. The Bible says that there are three main attributes in this life. Those three main attributes are found in 1 Corinthians 13. You know them: faith, hope, and charity, love. But it goes on and it says, and the greatest of these is love. The greatest of all of them is love. You take love away and life is not worth living. Maybe that's why so many people, when their loved ones die, they end their life. Maybe that's why 49 million people have been on dating sites. They're looking for love. And the fact of the matter is, most of them are looking for love in all the wrong places. But if you've come this, you've come to the right place this morning if you've come looking for love, because this morning I want to introduce you to someone who extends the greatest love and who is the greatest lover this world has ever seen. The very theme of this verse is God's great love. That's what it's about. The Bible says God so loved the world. Somebody broke it down this way: God, the greatest giver, so loved the greatest motive. That was his motive. The world, the greatest need. That he gave the greatest act. His only son, the greatest gift. That whosoever, the greatest invitation, believes in him, the greatest opportunity, should not perish, the greatest deliverance, but have everlasting life, the greatest joy. The Bible says here in our text that God so loved the world. That means that he loved it with a great love. He has a great love for the world, and not for this world system, not for the cosmos, not for the outer space, but the world in every single person that exists in this world. God so loved the world. That tells us of the greatness of his love. That means that he loved it with a great love. He loved this world so much. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." In the next chapter of Ephesians, chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul writes, and he tries to explain the magnitude of God's love, and he cannot seem to find the words to explain the magnitude of God's love. As Paul fights to try to find the words, as Paul fights to try to find a way to explain, as he can't quite find a sufficient way to describe it. He cannot find a sufficient way to help us to comprehend. And when he cannot find the words, he defaults to dimensions, and he says that you may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. You see, as much as I long to, and as much as Paul wanted us to, we could never, ever, ever really fully grasp the magnitude of God's love. All we can really say is that the love of God is uncommon. Aren't you glad he don't love like we love? The love of God is uncommon. It's not like any other thing that we've ever seen. It's not like anything that we can understand. It's uncommon. All we can say is the love of God is uncaused. There's nothing I did or can do to get God to love me. There's nothing that you've ever done to get God to love you. His love is uncaused. And because it is, his love is unconditional. It's not conditioned upon anything that I do or anything that you do. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 and 8 says this: "The Lord did not set his love upon you," talking to Israel, the Jews, "nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the fewest of all people." The next verse: "But because the Lord loved you." You say what? In other words, the Lord did not set his love upon you because you were the fewest. He didn't love you because you were the least. In other words, there's no reason that he loved you, but because he loved you. In other words, he loves you because he loves you. There's no certain reason that he loves you. He loves you because he loves you. He didn't set his affection on you because you're the most, because you're the greatest, because you're the least, but simply because God loves you. Not only does he love you, but he so loves you with such a great love. There's no thing that you can do this morning to keep God from loving you. I want to preach just for the next few moments on this thought. God so loved. God so loved. The Bible tells us, this verse begins telling us of God's great love by saying that very phrase, for God so loved. And the rest of the verse illustrates the greatness of his love. It starts out with God so loved, and then the rest of it's going to illustrate for us the greatness of God's love. The first thing I'd like for you to notice as we look at this text this morning is the perimeter of God's love. The perimeter of God's love. You see, not only is it that God so loved, but the Bible says God so loved the world. The perimeter is the world. God so loved the world. You see, since God's love is so great, its perimeter is great. Its perimeter is the entire world. How big is God's love? It encompasses this entire world. Let me ask, could God's love reach as far as the end of the state of Tennessee? We know that it does because the Bible says God so loved the world. Could God's love reach as far as the end of America? We know that it does because God so loved the world. Could God's love reach as far as Ethiopia, or Europe, or Asia, or Africa? We know that it does because the Bible says God so loved the world. I'm glad this morning that his love is an all-inclusive love. You see, in school maybe, or coming up, there were some people that were popular and there were some people that were not. Right? It just seems there were some people that had it all together and had all the friends and had all the money or had all the fame, but there were some people that seemed to get the short end of the stick. But I want to tell you something, it's not so when it comes to God's love. I'm glad to report to you this morning that the same blood that saves a white man is the same blood that saves a black man. And the same blood that saves a black man is the same blood that saves those Mexicans. And the same blood that saves those Mexicans are the same blood that saves the Oriental man. God's love is an all-inclusive love. God so loved the world, it reaches across race barriers. It reaches across gender barriers. It reaches across age barriers. It reaches across economic barriers. It reaches across social status barriers. You know what I'm glad about, Brother Jim? God's love. You can stand there in front of those teenagers and you can tell them God loves you even though you're a teenager. Brother Oliver, you can stand there in those senior saints and you can say you might be 110 years old, but God loves you anyway even though you're 110 years old. In fact, he may love you a little more. You've had a long time. Amen. Listen, I'm glad God's love, it reaches across all the barriers. God so loved the world. God loves the preacher, but it loves the prostitute. God loves the deacon, but it loves the drunkard. God loves the sinner, but it loves the saint. God loves the happily married man, but he also loves the homosexual man. God so loves the world. His love has no requirements. God's love has no reservations. I want you to understand this morning, God does not love you because of what you are or because of who you are, but he loves you because who he is, and God is love. That's who he is. There's nothing that we can do to make him love us anymore and nothing we can do to make him love us any less. He loves you because he's good, not because you're good. He loves you because he's God, and that's his nature, God's love. We need to understand God so loved the world. You say, preacher, you know where I've been and you don't know what I've done. You don't know what kind of sin I've been involved with. You don't know what kind of wickedness that I've gotten myself into. And you don't know the depths of the drudgeries I've been. I mean, I've been in the gutter. I've been in the back alleys. I've been in places that even a sinner would blush. I've done things that you can't even imagine. You don't know what all I've been. You don't know what all I've done. I'm glad this morning, praise God, that he's still in every whosoever God. I'm glad this morning that the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ tasted death, not for some man, but he tasted death for every man. And aren't you glad this morning that the ground is level at the foot of the cross? If you come to Calvary this morning, you'll come the same way I came. You'll come the same way Brother Phil came. If you come, you'll come by way of the cross. And we can because God so loved the world. The whosoever God. You know why Love's the greatest thing in the world because the Bible says love covers all sin. Love covers all sin. You've not done anything too bad that God's love can't cover your sin. Every single one of us this morning ought to be in hell. If I got what I deserved, if you got what you deserved, every single one of us ought to be in hell. Every single one of us should have been on the cross. I like what the songwriter said. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung there in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place because God so loved the world. So a group of college students went and toured the ruined slums of a large city. As they're touring this city, one of the college girls saw a little girl playing there in the dirt. And she said to the guide, she said, "Why doesn't her mother clean her up?" The guide said, "Ma'am," he said, "that little girl's mother probably loves her, but she don't hate dirt." He said, "Now you hate dirt, but you don't love her enough to clean her up. And until a hate for dirt and a love for that child are in the same person, that little girl is likely to remain as she is." Aren't you glad this morning that there's one? While he hates the sin, while he hates the dirt, he does not hate the sinner. Aren't you glad this morning there's one that while he may hate the filth of this world and he hates the dirt of this world and he hates the sin in your life and he hates the sin in my life, he loves the sinner. In fact, he loves us enough to come and clean us up. And he did it with his own blood. His own blood. You see, what's different this morning about my love and your love, what's different this morning about our love and God's love, is that harlot that we abhor and we walk by and turn our head and don't want to see. The one that walks by with the track marks on their arm and we just keep walking. The one that is in your office that you can't stand, God loves. The one that's the most vile and always telling the dirty jokes, God loves. That one that belittles your faith and tries to make fun of you because you're a church-going man or a church-going woman and you claim Jesus Christ, may you read your Bible at work or whatever it is, you pray over your meal, that person, God loves. The person that does not treat others right, God loves. The one that you despise the most, God loves. That person who you on politics disagree with the most, God loves. The fact of the matter is, God so loved the world. He loves everybody. You see, you and I, the difference between our love and God's love, we pick and choose who we love. God said he loves the world. He loves the world. There'd be one little thing we don't like about somebody. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. A sinner may go and will go to hell unsaved. But you hear me this morning, they'll never go to hell unloved. Because God so loved the world. The reason that you and I have been told to go all in the world, go into all the world and preach the gospel, is because the gospel is for the whole world. Why else would we be sent into all the world? Because God so loved the world. Not only do we see the perimeter of God's love, it's the world. I want you to notice the proof of God's love. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave. Whether you realize it or not, the greatest evidence of love, the greatest evidence of loving is giving. It's the greatest evidence. There's nothing greater. The greatest evidence of loving is giving. Somebody said, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." In fact, it was Amy Carmichael, that great missionary in India. You can give without loving, but you'll never love without giving. The greatest evidence of love is give. God so loved the world that he gave. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, very familiar verse, says, but God commendeth. That word commendeth means he showed or he demonstrated. In other words, this is how he demonstrated it. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The way he demonstrated, the way he showed his love, is he gave his only begotten Son to come to this world. You and I don't understand a love like that. We say to our kids, you say, you love Daddy? Yeah, I love it. Come here and give me a hug. Come here and give me a kiss. And that's how we demonstrate our love. But he gave his Son. He gave his only begotten Son. He gave the life of his Son. If you and I were to ask God how much he loves us, you know what he'd do? He would point to the cross. He would point to the cross, because I want you to understand something. When God, the Father, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, to die upon the cross, that was God's love in heaven's language. That was God saying, I adore you. That was God saying, I love you. It was God's love in heaven's language. Old Dottie Rambeau got it right when she sang that great song as she beheld that wondrous cross in her mind. As she looks at it, she says, if that isn't love, then the oceans are dry. There's no stars in the sky. And the sparrow can't even fly. Oh, the cross, if that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. God so loved the world that he gave the proof of his love. The Bible says regarding that gift, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love. You want to see love? Here it is. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son, sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Not only love, but John 15, 13 tells us it's a greater love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The perimeter of God's love, God so loved the world. The proof of God's love that he gave his only begotten Son. I want you to notice the protection of God's love. He goes on and he says, that if any man believeth in him, should not perish. The protection of God's love. Just like you want to protect your child from harm. Just like you want to protect your child from pain, just like you want to protect your child from the devastation and the destruction of this world and the things of this world, because you love them so much, because God loves you and I so much, he wants to protect us from the devices of Satan. He wants to protect us from the destruction of hell. He wants to protect you and I from death, hell, and the grave. Do you understand this morning that he suffered our death, he suffered our hell? When Jesus Christ died on the cross and went down there and led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men, and he suffered our death, that beating and the whippings and being punched in the face and being spat upon and being beard plucked out and the scourgings, all the ridicule, blinding him and punch him in the face and say, if thou be the Son of God, tell us who hit thee. That was supposed to be me. That was supposed to be you. He suffered our death, cruel death. He suffered our hell that we should have suffered as he went down there, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. And then, praise God, went to glory. He suffered it all to protect you and I so we wouldn't have to suffer it. John 3:17 says that the world through him might be saved. That the world through him might be saved. The protection of God's love. The only reason this morning, there's not one single thing I can claim. I can stand up here and tell you for a long time of some great things that I've done for the Lord that amount to zero. It amounts to filthy rags in God's sight. But I want to tell you something. The only reason that I can stand this morning and say I know I'm going to miss hell is because Jesus loved me so much that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I have protection because of his love. And then I want you to notice the provision from his love. He goes on and he says, should not perish but have everlasting life. The provision of his love. You see, God's love provides life, and the greatness of his love is seen in the greatness of life provided. Oh, it's not just life. I mean, we think about this life and how it is. Really, it's not that great when we really think about it, right? The day we're born, we begin to die. But the greatness of God's love is seen in the greatness of the life provided in his provision. He doesn't just give life, but he gives everlasting life. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. It's everlasting life. I want you to look with me quickly over just a page, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. You see, we have the provision from God's love. Look with me at verse number 6. You know the story here. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus going by, the Samaritan woman. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away in the city to buy meat. Then say the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Aren't you glad that Jesus is a whosoever God? Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift, watch this, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, the well is deep. From whence then thou hast thou living water? Hast thou then that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself? Watch what he says in verse number 13. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He said, whoever drinks of this water, you're going to thirst again. You think about the trinkets of the world. You're going to want again. You think about all the great gifts you could give. There's something you're still going to think you need or that you want. Think about Christmas hadn't been gone no time, and probably the next day you was wanting something else. I'm simply saying, he said, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of that water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst. It'll be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He provides the greatest gift because he has the greatest love. That earthly dead water can never satisfy the soul, but because of God's great love for us, not only does he protect us, but he also wants to provide great things for us. He wants to give us the greatest gift. Do you understand this morning? You may have walked in this building this morning lost, on your way to hell, but because God so loved you, you can walk out saved on your way to heaven. You may have walked in this morning dead in your trespasses and sins, but thank God you can walk out this morning alive in Jesus Christ and have everlasting life because Jesus saves, because Jesus loves, because Jesus gives. The Bible says, John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That means you possess it now, hath everlasting life. That's present tense. I'm glad that the Bible tells us that we don't have to wait to heaven before we get that everlasting life, but we possess it right now. He says we're seated with him in heavenly places, and I'm glad to be seated with him in heavenly places. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Every single person, the sound of my voice, will one day breathe their last breath. Every single one of us will kiss our spouse for the last time. Every single one of us will open our eyes to a final morning. Every wife will tell their husband that she loves them for the last time. All of us. Every one of us will tell their husband that they love their husband will tell their wife that they love them for the last time. every one of us will breathe our last breath and open our eyes one final morning. Young person, you'll put your arms around mama and daddy one last time. Despite the great science discoveries, the mortality rate's still at 100%. Humans, all of them, still die. But because God so loves the world, and you're part of the world, and because God so loves you, He provides to you and I everlasting life. And you can live again, and you can love again, and you can have a life that lasts forever. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You may say, well, preacher, not one person this year has given me a Valentine's gift. God did. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He said, not one person's given me anything. Can I tell you something? He's given you something that's greater than anything that you'll ever receive in this world. Read a poem I'd like to read to you. It says, one there is above all others, oh, how He loves. His is love beyond a brother's, oh, how He loves. Earthly friends may fail or leave us, one day soothe, the next day grieve us, but this friend will ne'er deceive us, oh, how He loves. Joy and peace it is to know Him, oh, how He loves. Think, oh, think how much we owe Him, oh, how He loves. With His precious blood He bought us. In the wilderness He sought us. To His loved ones safely brought us. Oh, how He loves. The most beautiful songs in the world to me, Miss Kara played during the offertory. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child, you know, then it goes to the next verse. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, if every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Whole love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever more endure the saints of angels song, the perimeter of God's love. It encompasses the entire world. You say, how do you know God loves me this morning, preacher? Because He gave His only begotten Son, the proof of God's love, and you can have protection because of His love. Have you accepted His wonderful gift of love? I think of that wonderful song by the Goodmans, until you know the loving hand that says you know nothing until you know the love of God. Until you know the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and picks you up from that place where you've gone. Until you know just how He feels to know that God is really real, then you know nothing until you know the love of God. You may be here this morning, you don't have a sweetheart or someone to love you. God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. You may be here and you may have a sweetheart. But if you've never accepted God's love, you know nothing. You know nothing until you've known the love of God. You don't have the capacity to know anything until we know the love of God. Let's stand for prayer this morning. I like Valentine's.